I am happy to be here. This is a, though I'm a stranger, hopefully a friendly stranger to many of you, this is another spiritual home for me. I was first here up in that section way up there listening to one of the very first Voices from the Heart concerts ever presented in this sacred space. And I came to be here for eight or nine sessions of Cantuti singing in the space. And I've been a part of many concerts here, and I've been a part of memorials and weddings here. And I'm just very grateful to be back here again. I'm also spinning with some of the words that Arthur presented about husbands at home and how on the rare occasion I would unload the dishwasher, I'd be waiting for my wife to notice, you know, did you see that the dishwasher's kind of empty right now? I just didn't know if you caught that. Yeah, I fit that in after, you know, after Netflix and such. So, no, I resemble those remarks. I was just talking about that. How many medals I want for the bits I do in that regard. But I'm filled with so much today, and I'm going to offer bits and pieces and two songs that I'm going to invite you to sing on. But the topic of my mind is curiosity, and springtime is a very potent season for curiosity for me, and I think for many of us. It's a season of birth and rebirth and emergence and potential, mysterious potential that's kind of winding its way forward millimeter by surprising millimeter. And curiosity certainly comes alive for me today. I am thinking about motherhood. Hallmark and others make sure of that today. But I'm thinking about all that the word mother means to so many of us, and how this is a happy Mother's Day for many, and it's not a happy Mother's Day for many for lots of reasons. It's a reminder of loss or missed things or imperfections or much more than imperfections. But for me today, more than a happy Mother's Day, I'm feeling a grateful Mother's Day today. I am grateful that a woman gave me the gift of life. I'm grateful to all of your mothers in your life who gave you the gift of life, that we might all be present in this space for the one and only time in the history of the universe. This is it. This is this recipe of us here today, thanks to the women who gave us birth, will never be again in the history of anything. And I'm glad to be a part of it with you. And I'm grateful for that. And for the all of the nurturing that we have received in our lives from various different sources. All of the love and care and nurturing we've received. Curiosity, again, in spring really surges for me. I don't have to do much to be curious in the springtime. And one of my thoughts about curiosity is that it can be relatively passive. I can wait for the lightning strike of curiosity, something that catches my fancy or yanks my attention. Then I become curious about something. Love is like that too. We can have... There's easy love that comes to me, my granddaughter. It's not a big decision if I'm going to decide to love my granddaughter, Ryland. It's a tidal wave that just washes right over me. I don't have to do much for that. There's harder love than that. Love of strangers I have met or not met. The love for people who I don't like the behavior of. That's more of a choice love, where I can choose to love people. It's not automatic. Curiosity can be like that for me too. I've been struck by curiosity, as if by lightning from the outside. Or I can decide to be curious. It can be a choice. I'll say more about that in a moment, but first I'm going to invite you to sing a song with me in recognition of of birth and rebirth for the spring and all the maternal components of spring. Do you have lyrics in your great? So this is the refrain is this. It's the roots are growing piece. Roots are growing through the ground in the waking wood. Shoots are showing toward the sun. Water flowing where the ice of the winter stood. Spring is out for another run. And that repeats. Spring is out for another run. Do the whole thing with me if you would. Roots are growing through the ground in the waking wood. Shoots are showing toward the sun. Water flowing where the ice of the winter stood. Spring is out for another run. Spring is out for another run. Warm wind slips between the trees. My heart quickens with the sound of it. Moist earth is in the breeze. Feathered flutter fields abound with it. Roots are growing through the ground in the waking wood. Shoots are showing toward the sun. Water flowing where the ice of the winter stood. Spring is out for another run. Spring is out for another run. Hemlock lifting from the snow. Morning greets me like a friend of mine. The greening of the lands below. Verdant welcome to this birthing time. Roots are growing through the ground in the waking wood. Shoots are showing toward the sun. Water flowing where the ice of the winter stood. Spring is out for another run. Spring is out for another run. There comes a lightness to my soul. Wakes a spirit that has slept in me. Spark of warming cuts the cold. Sprouts the seed of hope that's left in me. Roots are growing through the ground in the waking wood. Shoots are showing toward the sun. Water flowing where the ice of the winter stood. Spring is out for another run. Spring is out for another run. And I am out now. Lovely singing. Thank you. So before I interrupted myself with song, I was talking about curiosity and the element of choice in curiosity and how I'm thinking about how I can choose to be curious. The other choice I have around curiosity is to choose to support curiosity in others. There are a lot of barriers to curiosity in these lives of ours. Sometimes I have been that barrier. I had a near miss. My granddaughter, Ryland, I have a 40-minute PowerPoint, by the way, I'm going to show you shortly, Ryland. But she was visiting, and she was using her periscopic eyes, I call them. She's this tall, and the counter's this high, and she seems to know everything that's on top of that counter somehow. But she was passing by and she saw the half dome of an onion that was peeled. The outer covering was off, but it was there on a plastic cutting board, which I hadn't yet cleaned up from breakfast. And she said, "Apple. Want apple?" And my first reflex was to say, "Oh, I'll get you an apple. That's not an apple. I'll get you an apple." And my second was, because I knew I was coming to church today, talking about curiosity, was to be a little more mindful. And I said, "That's an onion." She's just getting word. She's two in a few months. I said, "That's an onion. That's not an apple. It's an onion." But I took the onion off the cutting board, and I brought it close to her, and she took it in her hand, and I said, "Smell it." And she smelled it. And then she looked like she was going to take a big hunkin' bite out of it. but she didn't. She said she smelled it a second time, and then she put her little tongue out, and she touched the surface of the onion. And then she said, to my surprise, she said, "Like it." She said, "Like it." She didn't. She gave it back to me after that. It's the tiniest little moment, but I had this chance to leave space for her curiosity, to not close it off. And earlier me, or less mindful me, might have just run across the room and smacked it out of her hand. "Don't bite the onion!" You know, like this terrible. And we have to protect people, those we have influence over, from the obvious dangers and risks. But I think I have to also remember to make space for that curiosity, to not just take what I think I know about how much someone's going to like an onion who's asking for an apple. Well, there's all kinds of assumptions in that. There's some of the barriers to curiosity are the when even well-intentioned, powerful people close off discovery. Sometimes it's great leaders or great professionals who have their business, it seems to them, is to know things and to define things and to put periods at the end of things and tend to tell people how it is. And it can stifle curiosity. I can stifle curiosity by taking the framework that I think I know and applying it to everybody, every curious child. So I'm trying to open that up. I know of the principles of Unitarian Universalism, the one smack dab in the middle of the seven is, I want to get the wording right, yes, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. That's got curiosity written all over it for me. The responsibility to be curious, to seek out, to question and seek out answers, and to support that in other people. Recently, Passover season, I was invited as pastor to two separate Seder suppers in a row. And one of the things I loved most about the ritual was in the story of Passover. But one thing I heard repeatedly was the valuing and the revering of the curious child, welcoming questions, welcoming curiosity as a healthy thing. Another of my, so I've got choice in curiosity, and I guess I'm also talking about responsibility around curiosity, my responsibility to be curious and to model curiosity and to make space for curiosity. I'm also thinking about courage and curiosity today. Sometimes, in many places, curiosity is not welcomed, and it takes courage to be. It's a term I had to look up today. I'd heard it, but I wasn't quite sure. The gadfly. You know, the gadfly is the annoyance, the one who questions an institution or an authority, sometimes causing change by being an annoyance. I don't think folks have really ever appreciated gadflies, yet they have changed the world for the better. I think we're less tolerant of gadflies today, by and large. But the person who raises questions, who speaks up, is someone worth considering or worth thinking about our response to. It's easier for me to say that until someone questions something I believe strongly, right? Then we'll see about those gadflies now, right? But I want to welcome the questioners. My last thought today around the courage of curiosity, and then I would like to close this wondering with another song. But I'm thinking about directing curiosity inward to ourselves in our own lives and the courage that that can take. The question, who am I and who do I want to be? Applying curiosity to our own lives. I'm blessed with many role models, people who have actually initially with no choice of their own, were forced into a condition where their identity was transformed dramatically. So one of the places Arthur mentioned, I work at a place called Krempel Center with people living with brain injury, and I teach songwriting. The song I'm going to ask you to sing with me in a moment is one that we wrote in class. But it's about the curiosity around identity and who we are and who we are becoming and who we want to be. So for many of these folks I work with at Krempel's, they, of course, have had some kind of trauma, some severe impact on their lives that knocked them out of their identity. They're, to the extent that we all identify ourselves with the things we do, with our occupation, the things we are engaged with our family structure, with our community structure. And for many of these folks, that's instantly changed through some trauma. And naturally, there would be a time of recoiling, sort of a winter of spirit, where there's some, you're just dealing with that loss and that mourning and that confusion and all the rest of it. And then I see these people choosing to be curious about who they are now. Who is this new person I am meeting? Who is this new person with new capabilities, with new limitations perhaps, but what are the capabilities and how can and will I be in the world? There comes this great holy curiosity in these folks, and I see them living it out. It's the courage comes in, well, first, stepping forward at all in the face of all of this. The other is that I see them every day stepping into situations where they test the limits of their abilities and are bound to fail at something as they pursue the question of who they are. I do not have a brain injury, but I do have a container of self that was crafted throughout my life. Stories I've told to myself about who I am. Stories that people told me about who I am. Important people in my lives. Powerful people in my life. So these folks are giving me, they're sort of role models for me going on my own pursuit of who am I? Who do I want to be? That may lead to some movement outside of the container of Craig. Let's sing our song. It's called, the song is Be Who You Are. That's the motto from Krempel Center. It's Be Who You Are. The full motto is, you're not who you were, be who you are. It's got one verse that I'll sing in the middle. I gave them the refrain, and they came up with the verse in one class one afternoon. We sing it every week now. Goes like this. Be who you are. You're not who you were. Be who you are. Be who you are. You're not who you were. Be who you are. One more time. Be who you are. You're not who you were. Be who you are. Be who you are. You're not who you were. Be who you are. Don't get stuck in the past. live for today. Make a new plan from where you stand now. The past does not define you. Be who you are. Be who you are. You're not who you were. Be who you are. Be who you are. You're not who you were. Be who you are. Don't get stuck in the past. Live for today. Make a new plan from where you stand now. The past does not define you. Be who you are. Be who you are. You're not who you were. Be who you are. Be who you are. You're not who you were. Be who you are again. Be who you are. You're not who you were. Be who you are. Be who you are. You're not who you were. Be who you are. Beautiful singing. Thank you for paying kind attention through my wondering aloud with you this morning.